Knights in John 4. Woo!
Kelly Manatic.
Hey, Kelly.
Everybody bear with me. I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm probably going to jump around a lot. I'm probably going to vape. I'm definitely going to swear. And my chair is squeaky. I grabbed my squeaky chair. I'm sure I'm going to use it, so I'm going to apologize ahead of time.
Okay.
So I'm kind of going to go through. I have two dates that I celebrate. I've got the 4th of July 2021 and the 4th of July 2023. So I'll go into the meaning of that, what those dates mean to me, why I celebrate them. But otherwise, I'm kind of just going to tell my story. I'll start at the beginning and work into what got me here and why I stay. Okay? So I'll go to the beginning. I was born and raised in Johnstown, which is where my home group is now. It's pretty cool to come back there with like a better perspective than I used to have. Mom and dad are both in active addiction as well. I will say my dad is more, like, he still smokes and drinks to this day, but he's also very functional and never really seemed to, it never got unmanageable for him. It never seemed to change his personality. He even told me once, like after all this came out about myself, he was like, oh, I tried heroin once and it wasn't for me. It blew my mind.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, how do you do that? I didn't get that yet. And then there's my mom, who is very much the genes that I did get. She's still struggling and better now. I guess it's more manageable. She is on maintenance, still drinking, still doing other stuff on the side. But it's really affected my relationship with her to this day, because I struggle with, like, I'm very good at being loving and caring in this program and, like, I don't know, being more patient with people, I think, but I look at her and I think, like, how are you so much older than me and you don't have something else that you want more of yet? And it's kind of hard for me to, like, separate my mind. It's hard for me to be as accepting, but I kind of just had to take a step back from her, lovingly, you know, love her from a distance and just let her do her thing, because it got too hard to not argue. Like, it's not my path to walk. It's not my acceptance to have, so I kind of had to take a step back from her. But definitely, they say it runs in the genes, whether it's behavior or genetic, I don't know, but I definitely learned it from, you know, product of my environment for sure. As a kid, I'll talk a lot about mental health too, because I think that fueled a lot of my, a lot of the reasons that I leaned into it and then couldn't necessarily back out as easy as I wanted to, or as easy as I thought it was. But even as a kid, like very young, felt, I wouldn't say suicidal as in like acting to take my own life, but I very much, I remember telling my mom at a young, I had a daughter who's 6 now. I think I was probably her age when I said, you know, I wanted to go lay out in front of a car, like I didn't really care to be here, and that like alarmed her. And so from a young age, I started seeing like psych professionals and like therapists, and they were trying to help me talk it out, and it always stayed. And I also think now that there is such a lapse in my spiritual condition for like the most of my life. I don't know what's mental health and what's not, but I definitely think, you know, like the lapse in my spiritual condition would fuel my depression. I later got diagnosed with bipolar depression, so I never got the manic part of it. I never like got a ton of shit done. I just would get really fucking sad and like wanted to die all the time. And so I think now I was trying to cover that shit with like medication and different processes and procedures and looking for like the magic pill to fix it, and I never really found it. Until this program, to be honest, and I'll talk about the hope piece of it later, but like I see now what I think I was missing then. I was a good kid for the majority of my life. I think a lot of that was like people-pleasing behaviors. I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to be like my mom. I knew even then. And I will say I did get the best of her. I have 2 sisters. We all experienced like a different part of her. And for my early childhood, my parents were married, so my mom could stay home for the first like 9 years of my life, I think. And I definitely got the best side of her. Like, volunteered at my preschool and was very present and like a good mom. And then it was ripped away whenever they got divorced. She leaned pretty heavily into her addiction and kind of went into that like blaming us for being kids when we needed a mom. Like, didn't want to be a mom anymore, so we were like more of a burden than anything. So that really fucked with me. I love my dad, very close with him, but I don't know, there's something about a girl and her mom that'll just, you know, snap that piece in your brain real quick. So I leaned into those people-pleasing behaviors, really trying to adapt, chameleon, whatever you needed. So even though I didn't fucking feel good ever, nothing ever felt sad. I'm also a Virgo, that perfectionist. I mean, nothing ever felt good. Nothing ever felt like I was doing enough. But I was like keeping everybody around me happy. Everybody knew me as like a very surface level piece of the puzzle, you know, like I kind of just fit with everybody, but only because I made myself fit, you know what I mean? So I took a long time to like even dive into coping mechanisms. I used to say that I had such strong willpower that I didn't need to dive into anything like that. I could force myself through. I started having panic attacks, and I don't know, I just remember like the crippling anxiety that I felt just in like early high school from all the pressure I was putting myself under from other people, not wanting to be like my mom. I said I'd never drink, I'd never smoke cigarettes. I just had all these things I fed myself of how to not be like who I didn't. I don't know, I think I, ooh, the word disgust, it just came to mind. I had like such a disgust towards that like behavior and attitude. I swore I wouldn't be like that. And I probably became a worse version of her for a little while, at the very least. So it wasn't until high school, started dabbling in drinking and things like that, but I didn't really go too far. But that first taste of like my brain being quieted by an actual substance, because like I said, I had tried psych medications, things like that. Nothing ever really seemed to do it. I was also a kid, so they probably couldn't give me what I thought I actually needed or anything strong enough to make me feel any type of way. When I started drinking, it got very fun. I didn't have to try as hard to fit in, and my brain got quiet. And that was all I was looking for. It was like that little illusion of peace that I thought I was getting. So it started to spread and spread. Went to college. I got the opportunity to, I have a degree in visual arts. I got the opportunity to study abroad for a year. And when I went over there, I started to cut loose like more and more. It was the first time I had been totally freed of like anybody's grip or grasp or expectations on me. Nobody could see me. The only people I was over there with were people who had met me when I arrived. You know, like they knew nothing about me. I could be whoever I wanted. I could build on to be whoever I wanted. I could let go of everything that people thought of me. I had a boyfriend back home that was very straight-laced. Like I told him I wanted to smoke weed once and he cried. So, and I remember at the time thinking, this is fucking wild, but I guess that's the right thing to do, I don't know. And then when I went over there, I was like, nah, that life's not for me. I called him, I was like, I'm not coming home, we're done. I'm living here now. I'm Italian. So I cut off, like, everyone, and I just, like, kind of ran rampant. And I still had a tether, and so I had, like, some kind of moral... Like, I wasn't going too far, trying too many illicit things. I was smoking and drinking, but I wasn't, like, fully committed to the bit yet. I still had this illusion of control that I had on my life. And I did. There was a guy over there who took a choice from me. And after that, nothing else... It just felt like, what the fuck did it matter? Like, if that piece that I held on to and I protected was taken from me, then I now... It doesn't matter what I do. No choices I make after this are like, who cares? Everybody judged me for this, that, and the other thing, and now I'm trying so hard to people please and be a certain person. And I was like, who fucking cares anymore? So I started doing everything. Everything I could get my hands on, I was seeing multiple people, like it just didn't matter. I put myself into many risky situations overseas that like I'm fortunate that I came home from. My dad told me when I went over, he's like, I'm not Liam Neeson. I cannot find you if something goes wrong. And I still did the shit anyway. I still did everything like I shouldn't have done. Went with people I shouldn't have went with. I put myself in vehicles and in small spaces and just bad situations. Like everything that I will educate my daughter on, like where not to put yourself, you know? But I came home. All of a sudden, I'm a big fish in a little pond, because I built this whole new personality overseas, and I was so much more fun and carefree and untied to anything. And also, my mom, who, while she was doing her shit, my whole life was very much accusatory. Like, I think I was 11, and she came into my room and said, you know, you're smoking weed, and I was like, what's weed? I didn't even know what it was yet, and she was accusing me of doing the things that she was doing. So a big part of the reason, too, that I stayed away from shit for so long was, like, out of fear of her reaction. She was just so volatile. But it was weird because when I came home from overseas, it was a flip in her perspective. All of a sudden, I was old enough and like I was already doing it on my own anyway, so I became a friend to her, which which also was another like weird fucked up dynamic that we merged for a little while. But I was like getting the mom that I didn't feel like I really had. And so it felt good for a little bit. Partying more and more, nothing. I don't know, I wasn't taking school seriously. I wasn't, just nothing mattered. That whole, you know, that I don't know, the piece of your brain that gets severed for anything that has any kind of fucking value in your life is just cut. And then all you can think about is like the fun, the feeling, the whatever. I was just trying to get through the day to get to the next thing. And then it was in the morning and I like was missing classes. And these are all party drugs, mind you. This wasn't even like the depth of anything. It was just like where things started to really spiral. So yeah, in December 24th of 2015, I had started seeing a guy after I got home from Italy. He was into the same things I was. He was a very good person. It's very rare that I meet somebody who just had such a pure heart and just a good soul, and like we just vibe. So we were hanging out, we became inseparable, we started dating. And we were leaving the bar on Christmas Eve with two of our friends in the car in front of us. And all there is to do, I'm from Johnstown, that was where I was born, went back to. But at this point in time, I had moved out to Armagh. I don't know if anybody knows where that's at. There's fucking nothing to do there. You blink and you miss it. Like, we raced cars and did drugs, or you did both. That's like all there was to do for fun, you know? So we're leaving the bar Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve early in the morning. And so I saw our friends like kind of cut out in front of us, and I was like, go get them. Like, what the fuck are you doing? This is what we do, you know? And so he went out around them, and we wrecked. He hit like the Jersey barrier. We took out this giant exit sign. He was ejected out of the back and killed instantly. And I had a broken rib, broken neck, torn ACL. You guys see me play volleyball, I wear that fucking huge brace because I never got it fixed because I was high and just ran away. Torn ACL, severe brain trauma, like just a lot of shit. It was a lot. I was very lucky to have lived. I showed you the car. I saw the picture of it somewhere, but it looks like a soda can was crushed. And even that wasn't enough for me to be like, oh, I'm supposed to be here. I just was like, I was lucky, but now what? And I was so fucking devastated. It took me a long time to put words to the emotions that I felt at the time, because I learned that I held a lot of resentment and I was angry at him for dying. That like I had to be here to hug his crying mother and to go to his funeral and to like see all our friends, and like I'm just here broken and busted and like my soul's crushed, and I didn't fucking care. I don't remember ever like feeling so broken, I guess is a good word, in that moment. You know, it was just like, I can still, like, if I think about it, I have a specific scene in my head that if I flip to, I can, like, the emotion flutters. Like, it was dark. My mom, after that, allowed, like, 20 of our friends to stay in our house just while we were all kind of, like, grieving and leaning on each other. But it was, like, a constant fucking haze of smoke. Everybody's trading pills and doing this and that. And, like, she really didn't care. She just kind of allowed it to happen, which at the time I thought was cool as shit. And now I'm like, that's a bad mom move. But so I just kind of put myself in a daze. I did try to go back to school. I had like one semester left. They let me like Skype into a few classes in a neck brace. And I was like, I don't fucking care. Like, you're asking me to write this essay. Like, I don't even care to like be breathing anymore. So I dropped out. I had all this student loan money that I was going to use because I wasn't going back to school. People felt bad for me and they're giving me shit and trading me shit. And like, I definitely used that. So that night that we wrecked, a guy pulled me out of the car. I had known him since high school. He was my boyfriend's best friend. He had pulled me out of the car that night. We got really close after everything. Spoiler alert, he winds up being my husband for a while. That was timed as well. But he pulled me out of the car. We spent a couple weeks together. He said, do you want to go to Alabama? And I was like, please get me the fuck out of here. Like, took the neck brace off, back brace. I didn't care. Like, I was high. I couldn't feel anything. I was numb. My mind was just in pieces. I was like, just get me out. So we left, went to Alabama for 2 years. While I was down there, I had my daughter. And then, I still maintain like that party life up until I got pregnant. I will say that's like the one like crown jewel I have in the choices that I've made. That's not to knock anybody who wasn't able to or couldn't make those choices, because it's just my story. But I was able to like put everything down while I was pregnant with her, and she was born healthy. we moved home, or I moved home with her when she was 4 months old, so I could go back to school. And like, I did those 4 months after we came back. I think I'd been clean. And when I say clean, I don't mean like I was still drinking, smoking, like whatever on the weekends, but I wasn't using anything harder until like maybe a year and a half, something like that, after she was born. Things became like crippling again, that anxiety or shit that I honestly probably never processed or dealt with and I ran from, eventually came back, and that shit got heavy. And I was trying to do all the right things for the wrong reasons. I was trying to be a mom, and you know, I got my degree, I was trying to work full time, and I knew I was gonna eventually marry them. I was trying to be a good partner, a good wife, and like, it just fucking took every piece of me that I had. I had nothing. You know, I just felt like I had no spiritual connection. I had no friends. I had no, like, I had people who cared, but I didn't let them in. You know, like, I had nothing. So it just felt so isolated and depleting, and I don't know. I didn't like it. And I thought that what you do when you don't like how you feel is you take something to make you feel different. So I started, I asked him one night. A friend of ours had actually died from an overdose. And all I could think about, like, it's fucking sad, but all I could think about was he probably felt good before he went. And I remember asking, like, you know, can we get some pills or, like, something? Can we do something? And so he brought some home, and we made the promise, you know, not every night, maybe on the weekends, you know, we're not going to let this run our lives again. So I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I got you. It didn't take long. It did not take long at all. And then it was, you know, every day. Then all of a sudden, the fucking $80 shit that we're buying isn't cutting it, and he brought home something else. And I don't blame him for this. Like, I think I would have found my way there on my own anyway at the rate I was going. But he brought something home, and I said, absolutely not, get it out of my house. And he said, well, listen, you don't have to, but I'm going to. I said, well, I'm not going to be fucking sober. Like, I am the one who's miserable, so okay. It's me. It's my fault. It's my problem. This is all my shit. A lot of it was his, too, but I was the one who acted on it. So I did, and it was just game over. It was just, like, that instant, every little piece I'd been searching for, like, a fluttered heart out in the yard, like, having the time of my life. Everything had, like, a golden hair. I was like, I feel great. This is clearly the medicine I've been missing. Till it wasn't. And that didn't take long either. I remember trying to quit for the first time and like realizing the grip that it had on me. Because I had always, like I said, I had that strong willpower, even with pills or all this other shit. I was able to put it down, suffer for a little bit. Oh, I remember the first time I was dope sick off of those pills, and he was like, oh, I'll never let you be dope sick again. This is awful. And like, I was like 2 weeks into our relationship. We were together for 7 years, you know? And I was like, that's so sweet. He cares. He's not going to let me be sick again. He had his own fucking addiction, you know? Like, he wasn't just looking out for my shit. We couldn't make it together is what we found out in the end. But I just, there was like a romantic aspect of this whole life to me that I just really chased. And then, you know, it wasn't long till nothing else mattered. The first time I had tried to quit, I think it was right, so we were getting married. And we're getting married this weekend, and I said, okay, the weekend before, I'm going to take 3 days, I'm going to detox. I want to be clean for my wedding, so I'm going to detox that weekend. We had family coming on fucking Monday. It was like Friday. So I was like, I need to be good by Monday. I'll give myself enough time, it'll all be good. I put myself into precipitated withdrawal. I was seeing fucking demons and just like, it was just the worst feeling I've ever fucking had in my life. Like, I remind myself of that moment. That's the one that's like the most vivid to me. There have been plenty others, but I remember that one when I start thinking about any type of romanticizing that life ever, because that was the fucking darkest place my mind has ever been in. And we always made a deal that like, we had a kid, so we couldn't both be sick at the same time, so if we were gonna detox, I always went first. Not fair. Not fair at all. And I never questioned it then. Now I'm like, what the fuck? You didn't fight for that? So I'm laying there dying and begging him to please go get stuff. Not hitting me that he had his own shit because he wasn't sick. You know what I mean? Like, he could have helped me out. But I had to wait till the next day when the dealer woke up, because keep in mind, we're in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, you can't, there's no city down the road, there's not people, like, you they don't answer their phones. Like, I think he went and knocked on their window and, like, woke him up at his parents' house and was like, yo. Like, she's real not good. So I just remember realizing the hold that it had on me and how my choices were no longer my own, and that scared the shit out of me, because I am a control freak through and through. I'm getting better, but I still really struggle with it. And then I didn't understand the concept of a choice being completely taken from me like that. It like brought back other shit, you know, where it was like really taken. I had nothing fucking left. It wasn't out of my grasp now. I knew I fucked up, couldn't admit it. I was still working full time. Oh, I got married high. Made it to the wedding. I think shortly after that, like I tried a couple, I think it was 3 times total, I tried to quit before I launched into treatment. But I was fully functional, like I was nodding out at my desk, but I made sure, you know, my back was turned to all the other coworkers I had, so nobody could fucking see me sleeping at the computer, like going to the bathroom. We had, there was an alley out back, and these like older women were all like, I know they're dealing drugs out there, let's go look. And we'd stare out the window, and I'm like, what do you think they're doing? As I'm like running to the bathroom to do a bag. Like, it was just so fucking icky. It's very icky. So icky. I think of it now and it's just gross, like some of the shit I did. I will say I really credit my ex-husband with, like, when it got to be enough, I don't think I was done. Like, I don't think I could have admitted it. I don't think I would have asked for help. Like, I've always struggled with my fucking pride, and like to this day I'm learning that it's something to be worked on that I can deal with. But I just couldn't fucking tell a soul. So I suffered in silence for a long time. He and I were disconnected. It wasn't a good fit. Things were getting angrier and more volatile and hateful and fighting over fucking money and hiding shit and insecurities. And like, it just got to be a real bad situation real quick. When he thought we had had enough, he put the phone in my hand and said, we need to get help. Like, he was crying, and that never happened. I was like, oh shit, he means business. Okay, I'll go and get the physical shit out of my system, and then I'll be good to like choose to do it as I see fit. I didn't know anything about Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know anything about recovery or true recovery or abstinence. Like, I knew nothing. I thought you were abstinent when you wanted to be pregnant. You tried. You know, so that was it. That's the only thing I knew about, and that was temporary. So I didn't know that there was like a life beyond that, and I couldn't fathom it. I told people, you know, I'll never not smoke or drink at the very least. Like, all this other shit that I'm gonna decide on, I'll never not do that for sure. There's no way I could live. I just couldn't conceive of it. And so I went to treatment. We found somebody to take his parents, who are fucking saints. Love them like they're my own. Even now that we're divorced, I maintain such a close relationship with his mother. His dad now passed away, which was a hurt piece. But they took our daughter. We went to treatment at the same time at different places. He went for a week. I said I was going to go for 3 days and be home in time for her 3rd birthday. I was in treatment, and thank God, like, I fucking listened to somebody. I don't know. My higher power was looking out for me before I even knew it fucking existed, because I said, I have to get home. My daughter's turning 3. I had this big party planned. Like, I was still functioning and trying to, like, keep that control. And some counselor was like, listen, you can go home now for this birthday party, and you might die or be out ripping and running before the next. Or you can miss this one and make a commitment to be there for everyone after that. And that really stuck with me. And she also told me, you and your husband cannot both fuck up again. So I really took that to heart, which unfortunately for him, or fortunately for me too, meant that he did not have to try as hard as I did, because if he was going to let his shit go, then I had to hold on to it. So I came home, stayed the full 30 days, saved my fucking life. It was my first introduction to NA. They say you stick around long enough, you'll hear somebody tell your story. I was there for a week, and I heard some bitch get up, and I shit you not, everything I've said to this point, she said as if, like, down to the fucking ages we were when the car wrecked and our boyfriend died, and, like, it wasn't so much the depth of the story that I grasped, but it was the fact that, like, the shit she said was enough to get my attention, that, like, I was supposed to hear that. And then from that moment on, I kind of took notice that, like, maybe there's something to this. And I started listening to the words that people were saying and not just sitting there trying to read the reading. And, like, you know, I thought it was a cult. So I had to, you know, figure it all out for myself. And I started to listen. Came home, I maintained. I will say, you know, when I was in treatment and I came off of, you know, you're on your comfort meds and the maintenance, I was off of my maintenance for 7 days, and my neck pain from that car accident that I'd been covering up came back like I wrecked the car yesterday, and I had myself so worked up for 3 fucking days. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I felt like I couldn't lift my head up. And I know a lot of that now is probably psychological, and I've talked to doctors since who said it's probably rebound pain, where like the pain is real, but it's also not permanent. And I had myself like, this is gonna be the rest of my life. I'd rather fucking be on maintenance than feel this pain for the rest of my life, or else I'm just gonna relapse anyway. What does it matter? So I got back on maintenance and kept that for a while. So when I got out and came home, I was on maintenance, considering myself clean while still smoking and drinking, I think. Because like I had heard the NA message, like the whispers of it were in my ear, but I was like, they don't mean completely. There's no way. There's no way everybody in these fucking rooms is like, there's not, it doesn't happen like that. So I started dipping my toe in and going to meetings around my area. My husband relapsed. I was like barely fucking hanging on, like just miserable, and had to take him back to treatment at some point. I think it had been 10 months of me like barely maintaining, just not using my drug of choice really is what it was. And I snapped, and I remember this was like my spiritual bottom. And it was just such a mundane, like nothing happened, it wasn't a death. I've suffered a lot of shit in my life, and I just couldn't fucking take it. I couldn't take the weight of everything. And I just crumbled, and I begged, and I was like, we have to do something. I can't live like this. And so I relapsed. It was like a 3-day stint. It was not long. But the date that I quit using my drug of choice was July 4th, 2023. I say that because that was, you know, in the beginning I told you I had 2 dates that were very important to me. That's the first one because that's the day that my life changed. I was still on maintenance. Let me make that clear. I was on maintenance for the first 2 years of my time in this program. I found a sponsor who was willing to work with me, who I'm fucking forever grateful for, because when I went and sat with her for the first time, and because, you know, they tell you get a sponsor, get a home group. The first meeting I walked into wound up being my home group. Pete and Katie were the first ones that fucking hugged me, and like it's just been my we ever since. And then I found my sponsor at another meeting. I liked what she had to say. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know any better. I picked her, and it was like the best choice I could have made. Because when I sat down to tell her that I was on maintenance, and I also didn't realize at this point how taboo it was. Like, this is my first real introduction to like what the rooms really are outside of treatment. And in treatment, you take your meds and then you go to a meeting. You know, like I didn't know any better. I learned pretty quick, listening to what people say and like the tone in everybody's voice. I learned pretty fucking quick that like I better keep my mouth shut. It was another secret that I was holding. So I found these people that were so like loving and welcoming, and like, you know, that whole you walk into a room and everybody's saying me too kind of thing, like you vibe with that. I still had this big secret that I was holding back for fear of like getting kicked out. I didn't know how it worked. But I got the inkling that I should be honest with the woman I'm asking to be my sponsor. And I told her, and she said, I don't have any experience with this. I want to talk to my sponsor because I think she does, but I would be honored to keep working with you. And like, had she told me no that day, I would not have asked another soul. Like, I have too much fucking pride, especially at that time. I was too headstrong. I'd be like, they don't fucking want me, fine. I won't be here, you know, and I wasn't going to tell anybody else and like risk any kind of judgment. So I kept it to myself. She said, it's between me, you, and your higher power, and anybody that you trust. But I will work the steps with you as comfortably as you feel. We really meshed early on, and I think she trusted me to be like self-aware enough to know. And I stayed in the rooms. I attended meetings regularly. You know, I don't know that I did the 90 and 90, but it was pretty fucking close. Like I do have a 6-year-old, and you know, my husband and I had gone through, we got into a gigantic fight, and it got violent, and I took my daughter that night and I left. So I was like homeless, living with my grandfather, which was my last resort. I had no job. I was getting divorced now. I'm a single mom. Very, very new in like recovery. And it was fucking hard to like grapple with, man. A lot of my shit fell apart, like my physical world shit. I said I had a spiritual bottom. That was like my physical bottom, was like losing all of that. in such a short span of time, and like, it was because that woman said yes to me, and because I found the people I did as early as I did, which cannot be explained as anything other than a higher power or fate, or I don't give a fuck what you call it, but it was there for me. When I very easily could have tipped the other direction, because those familiar feelings were like pressing, you know, like I knew how to get out of it, and I wanted to act on it, and I chose not to. Somebody showed me I had that choice. But so I stayed, I attended meetings frequently, I went to events, I tried to listen and like be a friend, and I did all the things that were suggested of me. I was a fucking GSR, I didn't even know what the letters stood for, but I did go to area for a while, for me. I went for a good while, and I tried really hard. I did everything I could as under the radar as I could. So like any positions at area, for example, I couldn't, not that I wanted to be nominated, but I was so afraid of being asked, you know, that piece of if you're on maintenance. So I couldn't, I had such fear. Like I didn't want anybody to know yet. It was still my secret that I was holding. I had a couple people close to me that knew who were like godsends and did not judge me. I'm grateful for them too. I actually had a woman, I was sharing at a meeting, because I was getting to step three, which I know is also unconventional. I was getting to step three, and I was talking about how disconnected I felt from my higher power and how I couldn't seem to bridge that gap, or it wasn't what I expected, or I don't know. I was just sharing about this like despair that I had about it. And she came up to me after the meeting, and she said, I'm not trying to offend you, and I don't care either way, but are you on maintenance? And I was like, oh my God, why? Like, are my eyes looking crazy? Like, I really was trying, I was weaning myself down this whole time. I thought I was doing it right. I thought I fucked up. And she goes, no, it's not any way you look or behave. She goes, what you said resonated with me because I felt that once. And that spiritual disconnection that I couldn't get because I still had something, a chemical, you know, coursing through my body. So I decided then, I had talked to my sponsor. I was like, I don't want to continue with my step work until I'm completely off. I think I was at like, maybe a year and a half on my maintenance at that point, and I was already weaning down, and I was like, I think I want to stall my step work until I quit. So I got myself down on my own to 1 milligram a day, because I will say too, if it weren't for the people in this room, I never would have had the drive to get off of that substance, not even a little bit. If you have a doctor telling you that this is good, and this is for your disease, and this is what you need, and they don't want to lower your dosage, then and then I have this group of people over here who don't want me. I'm going to listen to the fucking doctor. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, he says I need it. I'm going to take it. But because they were so welcoming and understanding and fucking patient with me, I learned what I was missing and what I needed. And I knew it was over here. I just had to get there. Okay. So, you know, my sponsor was patient with me. My friends were patient with me. I had started dating Neil at some point. I told him. He was fucking patient with me, believe it or not. I was like, listen, if we're going to get into something, you need to know. This is where I'm at, and I don't want to hear about it later, so make up your mind now if you want to stay or not. He did. He did, and everything's fine. He was actually very fucking supportive and another driving force that helped me quit. So anyway, I was cutting myself down, getting closer, like I'm like I said, feeling stalled out on my spiritual condition and my steps, but I was like, I could taste it, you know, I was so fucking close. I got myself down to a super low amount, couldn't make it stick. I was getting so scared because at this point it's been 2 fucking years and I was like, I got my life back. You know, I in this time that I allowed this program into my life, regardless of being on maintenance, I got my own house. I got, you know, I found my partner in these rooms. I got my daughter. I got a really good fucking job. Like all these, like I started to build that life back up, but then I became so afraid to be sick for 2 weeks. I was like, I've been doing all the right fucking things. I don't want to be sick now. You know, like that was a really hard thing for me to cope with. So I actually was, again, higher power in my life. There was a doctor who was willing to work with me. They said, we can try this Sublocade shot if you're interested. We can do one dose one time and see if that helps you at all. I did still have withdrawal, but it was not nearly, it felt more manageable. And that was on April 4th of 2021. And so I waited until I was pissing negative because I wanted to be able to claim complete clean time. Because I knew it was like an unnatural way to go about getting clean. So I waited, and Neil piss tested me. That's right. He's like, I got the test. I'm like, all right, great. And so when I started pissing negative, was so fucking close to my original clean date, which I still celebrate in my heart. I was like sad to let that go. You know, it was the 4th of July, a fucking day of freedom. The day that I quit my drug of choice, that my life changed. It was so fucking close to that day that I chose because I was just going to reset my time. I was like, I'm going to take July 4th, but now it's going to be 2023, and that will be my official clean date, my official NA clean date. But I have 2 dates that I celebrate because there was one where my life changed, and then there's one where I was completely free. So that's coming up for anybody who's keeping track. It's coming up. But it's fucking been wild. Like the blessings that I have received here, coming from somebody who is never very spiritual at all, and my spiritual state probably doesn't look like anybody else's. You know, like I'm not, none of us are cookie cutter anyway, but I'm fucking out there. Like my mind's crazy. I didn't think anything would like mesh or vibe with me, and like this program is perfect. They say that, and it is. I haven't seen a part of it yet, and I'm still very early in, because keep in mind, I started my step work over. I thought it felt like the right thing to do when I got completely free. I decided I wanted to rework everything how I felt I needed to like receive it best. And also, there was so much turmoil going on at that point in my life. A lot of it felt more surface level anyway. I was on a substance. I was like, fuck it, I'm starting over, so I'm officially like going on to step 3 now. But just the little bits that I've done, and like I still continue to go to meetings and like be present, and I've the people here have become family. It's not just friends anymore. Hard for me to let them in. I've been alone. Even if I wasn't physically alone, I've been like spiritually, emotionally fucking alone, misunderstood, like all the, you know, I tag myself with all these things. Nobody can get close to me because nobody understands me, and I'm going to be jaded and dark and sit in the corner and not talk to anybody. And even when friends come knocking, I'm going to say like, hey, how are you? Have a cup of coffee and go home. Like there was nothing more to it. And I had to learn, and it's taken me some fucking time. I've been around 3 years now, like coming to these rooms. And I'm just now starting to get close to some people that I've known for a really long fucking time. But I'm starting to open up and, like, be my authentic self and let people in. And, you know, the first time I shared about the fact that I had been on maintenance for 2 years on a group level after I was clean and I felt like I was safe to do so, a lot of heads snapped my way. But people said, you know what? A, we don't love you any less. And B, you're going to help somebody. Mm-hmm. So, my purpose, I guess, in like my story, because I've been trying to latch on to, I can't fathom like why people want to hear what I have to say.
Because we love you.
But it's just still shocking to me, you know. I still, like, I should still be sitting in the corner, like my fucking head down, smoking a cigarette. So it's weird that you're all looking at me. But I feel like my purpose is to like give a little bit of hope in the spot of this program that I think is a little bit under nourished and where people might feel the most disconnected, because I know I fucking did. And I just got lucky enough that I found the right people early on that got me to where I am now. Don't get me wrong, like I did the work, but I had love and support the whole way fucking through. It did not matter what I did or how I felt. I had them. And like at a certain point, I was like, they earned enough of my love and trust that I should be opening up more and I should be a better friend, because I never knew how to do that either. I learned how to be a better fucking mom in this program. My daughter is going to be 7 real soon. And, like, she doesn't remember me like that, you know? Like, she remembers me handling shit. And she knows NA. Like, she knows everybody in this fucking room just about, you know what I mean? Like, she's close to my people here. And she asks about fucking Katie and Joe and Heather. Like, she asks how you guys are doing. And, like, that's fucking cool. She asks why Matt parks in the same fucking spot all the time. She says, is that guy with the hat always parked there? I'm like, yeah. Yes, he does. But she knows those things, and she knows this program, and we've had talks. How am I doing on time?
Very good.
We've had talks about like what it means to be here, and early on it was very much like my needing to keep mommy not sick. You know, that's all she needed to know. She was young. She was 3 when I started this whole process, I guess. So they keep me not sick. You know, they make it so that I feel good enough that I can be a good mom and I can go to work and I can do the things. And then this past year when she was in school, they celebrated Red Ribbon Week at school, and she came home with a ribbon. And I had been contemplating, like, because she comes to meetings with me, she hears a lot. And I was like, at what point do we have a conversation about what she's hearing or what I'm saying? And, like, she doesn't really ask about it much, so I didn't know if she was even listening or playing on her fucking tablet. I don't know. So she comes home from Red Ribbon Week, and I ask, she knew what it was about. She goes, well, I should always ask if I see something on the floor that looks like candy, because it might not be, and I know that drugs and alcohol are bad for me. And I said, great, do you know what it means when mommy or anybody else celebrates her clean time? And she goes, I thought it meant that you cleaned your room 6 months ago. Which was the purest thing I'd ever heard. She said, I thought we were clapping because you cleaned your room 6 months ago. I said, first of all, I cleaned it in, like, more recently than 6 months ago. But it was really cute. But I explained to her like what it actually is. That this is how long it's been since I've had any drugs or alcohol in my body. I explained to her that I was on medicine for a while, but now I have nothing but vitamins in my body. And like, she's been here with me through this whole fucking journey, and I'm really hoping that I don't want her to like be so overexposed to anything that's not good for her. But the only thing we talk about in these rooms are like fucking hope and like the dark side of it when you're not latching onto the good things. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, let her figure it out, and if she has questions, she can ask me, and I can do my best to explain. And like, I just want her to remain like grounded and know that there is another side of it, so that if she is ever pulled in that other direction, I knew nothing. I had no family members before me have ever beaten addiction if they were in it, or they just, you know, drank to have fun, but they weren't like full blown addicts. So I never had an example or any idea of what was on the other side of the disease. All I knew is I fucking had it and I was miserable and I thought the only way out was to die. And I don't ever want her to feel like that, so I'm hoping. And I mean, both her parents are addicts. Odds are it's going to be in her genes if that's how it fucking works, and she's going to experience some of the same issues one way or another. And I just want her to know that like she has a safe space to talk about it, that there is something better out there. It's a lot more meaningful on this side of things. It's a lot less shallow. Every blessing I have is attributed to the fact that like I committed to this program, even when I didn't get it or didn't want to. Let me say that too. I didn't come into this with like, I thought I was going to be like some spiritual guru and everything, the clouds were going to part and it would all make sense. And it didn't. And I was like, well then, I'm sicker than they thought. They're never going to be able to help me because you can't fucking get to me. And I just listened. Like, you know, maybe cut out the parts that are, you know, keeping you disconnected. All right, fine, I'll fucking try that. Or maybe try doing your step work, and maybe try calling your sponsor more, and maybe you try listening at a meeting. And I just start like slowly, one by one, checking the boxes. I was like, I'll fucking do it. I'm stubborn, but I'll try it. And it's gotten me nowhere but like better. Like every, and I know it's not all gonna be uphill. I've had bad moments too, trust me. But like overall, every move I've made has been better than the last one because of what I was taught here. I've also learned faith. This, if I can leave you guys with anything else, the little bit of peace that I noticed early on, because my mind has been fucking wild. I told you I've been diagnosed with all kinds of bullshit. I've struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts and like a bunch of shit, trauma. My brain is constantly bouncing and erratic and fucking crazy to the point where I didn't care what it was. I wanted to be out of myself. I used to think this is either going to kill me or make me feel better, and either way I fucking win because I can't do this. So I couldn't conceive of the thought that there was anything else that could fix that. After a little, I can't even remember when, it wasn't a cloud parting moment, but I remember all of a sudden being like, holy fuck, like my thoughts are quiet. Like I'm here, I'm present, I'm in the moment. And it was just for like a second, but that I did it without a substance. And I was like, okay, something's working. I'm just gonna keep walking this direction. Like I would say my amount of peace in my head now is more than the crazy thoughts that I have. Like I have steps to take and things to do and a way to quiet my own body and mind where I don't feel so panicked that I have to take something to get out of myself. That hands down is the most priceless thing I could have ever been given, because I couldn't have lived the way I was living. I know that. I just didn't know that there was another thing that could do it that wasn't bad for me. So the hope is real. I anybody who's new here, fucking stay. You know, just try it. Even when the shit doesn't fit right away, like just keep taking the next step. Like calm yourself down, do the next right thing, like just one fucking day at a time. I used to think that was so cliche and so stupid. It is the coolest thing to me now. It's like my mantra. It gets me through the fucking day. You know, like I don't have to think past this minute for a minute. You know, like let me get through now. Anyway, that's all I have. I'm Kelly, I'm an addict, thank you.
Circle up and close with prayer, charity prayer. Oh, yeah.
I'm sweaty.
Yeah.
Everybody's sweaty and gross. Let's just mix all our juices.